And you may be seated. Open your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Isaiah, right where we were last Sunday, Isaiah chapter 9. While you're turning there, we'll say it is good to have Brother and Mrs. Poe's daughter, Caitlin, with us. She came to visit Mom and Dad for the holidays, and pray for her husband, Darren. He's here, but he's at home with a bad headache, not feeling good, so pray for him that he'll get to feeling better. Maybe he'll be able to be in church with us tonight. But as far as Brother Miss Poe is concerned, the important one is here. Now, it's not Caitlin. It's the grandson, all right? So, and I'm sure they'll be happy to introduce you to him, all right? I'm amazed at how much the little fellow has grown since the last time I saw him. It's good to have them here. All right, you're there in Isaiah chapter 9. Just right there at verse 6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor." Now we're going to stop right there. I've got several books that have got written, and it's authors talking about the names of Christ. And one of them, they've got a section in there, a little short chapter, and they call it Wonderful Counselor. But I want you to notice between the word wonderful and the word counselor, there's a comma. There's a comma. Now, I want to tell you this, nothing's in your Bible accidentally. Nothing is in your Bible accidentally. Now, I believe his name shall be called Wonderful. Wonderful. I tried to preach that to you last Sunday, and did a pitiful job, but the best I could. And this morning, I want to preach to you on the fact he's the counselor, the counselor. Now, I believe he's a wonderful counselor, but hey, his name shall be called Wonderful. His name shall be called Counselor, Counselor. Now, we hear a lot today about folks going to counselors. I mean, there's a great deal about that. We've got counselors now for everything, okay? They're available to help you through financial problems, marital troubles. You can go to a counselor. If there's a tragedy, counselors are sent. Maybe if there's problems with maybe student get killed at a school, there'll be counselors there to help people through it. And there's just everything. There's counselors just nowadays just to help you cope with daily life. I think if you've got the right relationship with the counselor, you've got the right relationship with the one whose name shall be called Counselor, you don't need a lot of counseling. You don't need. Now, I didn't say you didn't have any, but I think you'll not need a lot, okay? Now, a counselor is more than one that just gives advice. More than one that just gives advice. A lot of people in this world seem anxious to give you advice. You get it unsolicited. You get it unwanted, all right? Everywhere. I have people sometimes come to me and say, "Preacher, I need some advice." And I remember one time looking at that person and say, "Okay, on one condition, I want a promise from you. You want advice, I want you to promise me you'll do what I tell you. Or whatever the problem is, I want you to promise me you'll do what I tell you to do." A lot of people ask for advice, but they're not interested at all in doing what you say, all right? You know, "What do you think about this?" "Okay, good." "And what do you think I should do?" "Good, all right, I want to ignore that." All right, and man, tons of people do it. Tons of people do it. Well, a counselor is more than that. A counselor is more than that. And we call his name Counselor because of several things. I'll just look at it very simply this morning. First of all, I want you to see this. His counsel is needed. Amen. His counsel is needed. Right. Folks, to make the statement and say we're facing things today that are unprecedented. Now, today we think of COVID, but there's a lot more than just that. Amen. We're facing things today that are unprecedented. But I want you to go back. You say, "Preacher, why do you think his counsel is needed?" Well, look in Proverbs chapter 11, would you? Proverbs chapter 11. And if you can get to Proverbs chapter 11, once you're there, put a finger in there and then go to Proverbs chapter 24, all right? Proverbs chapter 11 and then Proverbs chapter 24. If there's one thing we need today, we need some counsel from the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to hear from Him. You say, why, preacher? Well, look at verse 14 in chapter 11. The Bible says, where no counsel is, the people fall. The people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there's safety. There's safety. Look, if you will, there in Proverbs 24, verse 6. For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war. And in multitude of counselors, there is safety. He said, preacher, I'm not planning to make a war. Well, I want to tell you this. I think we are at war. Hey, we're at war with the world, the flesh, and the devil. You ever heard that saying, you need to pick your battles? Pick your battles? Well, hey, wisdom and counsel from God help you to know what battle to pick, all right? Help you to know we need His counsel. Why? Because there's a great mass of misinformation and bad information that's available today. You can literally find it everywhere. Go to the bookstore. There are multitude of books, self-help type books, all kinds of books giving counsel, giving advice, tons of them. Magazines are filled with it. Magazines are filled with it. My mother died almost 4 years ago. Almost 4 years ago. We're still getting at her house magazines she had subscribed to. I'm so glad. This last week, I got one and it had that cover on it that said, last issue. I said, glory to God, all right? I can quit throwing these things in the trash can. But they were filled with all kinds of advice. I don't tell you, mostly bad information. Mostly bad information. Magazines, television, oh my soul. There are so many people on television trying to tell you what you ought to do. So many programs giving advice and counsel. Let me say this, most of it is not good. You say, preacher, what do you mean when you say not good? I mean it's not scriptural. It is unscriptural. A great deal of it completely the opposite of what the Bible tells you to do. The world's filled with that. Text messages, we get advice. Hey, if you want unsolicited, amazing, just, I don't even know the adjective to describe it. Go on the internet. And there is information there that will astound you and amaze you. And a lot of it's wrong. Bad, bad, it's out there. Hey, the problem is, most of it, as I've said, is diametrically opposed to what the Bible tells us. Hey, that's bad information. That's bad counsel. Bad counsel. Those that are professional counselors oftentimes give you bad counsel because it's unscriptural, all right? We've become such a secular society in our world that God's view is seldom considered in this world today. Now, we may pay lip service to His name, but when it comes to doing what He says, that's a different thing. Hey, a lot of it out there. Hey, we need more than psychology to help us today, okay? We need more than that. If you'll look for spiritual counsel, spiritual counselors, it can make such a huge difference in your life and in your family. It'll make a difference in your outlook on life. It'll make a difference in hope for success and satisfaction if you'll just seek some spiritual counsel. In the multitude of counselors and safety, but I guarantee you one of those definitely needs to be the Lord Himself. Hunt for His, all right? Hunt for His. Safety lies in getting good, competent, spiritual counsel. That which comes from God. And let me say this to you. If there's anybody ever been competent to counsel, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what do you need? What do you think? What do you need to be able to give good counsel? Give good counsel. I've always marveled at people that would listen to somebody like Oprah. Now, I'm not attacking Oprah, but I've always marveled at people that would look to Oprah for advice on child rearing. She never had a child. She doesn't have any children. What great wisdom could she have about child rearing? That would be like going, I'm going to date myself here, Mickey Rooney or Zsa Zsa Gabor and asking for advice on marriage, okay? Yeah, both been married at least half a dozen times, you know. Obviously, they're the ones to go, do you want a happy marriage? Talk to them. No. They say, well, why is the Lord suited? First of all, if you're going to be a good counselor, you have to have some knowledge. You ought to have some knowledge. I'm going to tell you this, the Lord Jesus Christ has the knowledge that's necessary to help men. He is omniscient. That's a fancy word that says he knows it all. He knows it all. Everything. Everything. The Bible said he knows the end from the beginning. Boy, that's a good thing. If you want to talk to somebody that can counsel, talk to somebody that knows how the end's going to be, even from the start. That's him. He knows it, all right? He knows it. He's experienced things, right? You'll never find a subject that the Lord Jesus Christ is not well-versed in. And we talk about dealing with our problems and us, okay? Remember, he made you. He made you. If you've got a car that you're having trouble with, who better to take it to than the one that made it? Hey, you made this thing. Can you fix it? Hey, the Lord made you. Now, we talk about physical things, but wait a minute. We're not just a physical being. I know we have physical aches and pains. I understand that. But you're an emotional being. You're an emotional being. You have emotions. And sometimes they get out of whack in some people. All right? Who better to go to fix that than the Lord Jesus Christ? He's the one made you. I'm telling you, he has the all infinite knowledge. Never find a subject he's not well versed in. There'll never be a problem that he couldn't help you with. Never be a problem he couldn't help you with. Why? Because he knows. He knows. He knows what's going to happen over the hill, all right? He knows what's going to take place around the curve, all right? His knowledge is infinite, and that knowledge is so great that if you're going to somebody that needs help, go to the one that's got the answer, all right? Just go to the one that's got the answer. Yeah, it used to be that program on TV as a game show. I think it was Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, maybe. Is that the one where they had lifelines and you could call somebody and ask for help? I used to say years ago, if I was on that show and I needed the lifeline, I'd call Brother Brown, Mrs. Brown's husband. As before he passed away, Brother Brown was a font of knowledge, man. He was the kind of guy, if you were playing Trivial Pursuit, you want him on your team, all right? I said, that's the guy I'd call. Hey, who better to help you with than the one that's got the answer? You talk about knowledge. Why is he competent to counsel? Because he has the answer. He's got the knowledge. But not only does he have the knowledge, he has the experience. He has the experience to help. Man, experience is a wonderful thing. Sometimes you seek counsel, and you'll seek counsel from men, and you'll find that their knowledge is vast, but their experience is lacking. My cousin is a carpenter, and he worked for years for Unistrut, and when he told me that's who he worked for, I just sat there blank face. I know what Unistrut was, and then I'd ask him, and he said, "Well, it's a U-shaped channel." Oh well, thanks. And I said, "What do y'all do with that stuff?" And he said, "Well, I tell you this." He said, "They put it up and they hang lights in the operating room." That's what they hang it on and those kind of deals and a lot of other things. But he was always telling me, I'd talk to him. He said, yeah, we're on this job down here. And said, some stinking engineer in Chicago drew up the plans. But he said, you can't build it to their plan. It won't work. He said, I don't care what you do. It will not work. They've got the book knowledge. But he said, they have no experience. They have no practical experience. They've never been there, all right? Never been there. If you've ever been involved in building, you know that sometimes you got to cut some corners. You've got to bend some angles. You have to make some adjustments. They're not on the blueprint, but they have to be done to make it work. But you've got to have a person who's got the experience to be able to get it done. Experience. Well, listen to me. Our Lord, He's got the experience. He's been through it. He said, how can you say that, preacher? Take your Bible. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 4, would you? Hebrews chapter 4. He's got the experience. We will call him counselor. Why? Because he's got not only the knowledge, but he has the experience to go with it. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. Would you look there? Hebrews 4, verse 15. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Now keep your Bible open here, because this verse is going to help us on the next point, okay? But I want you to see what it says. But was in all points tempted like as we are. So what are you saying? I'm saying he's had the experience. In all points, tempted like us. He's got the experience because he's been through it. He's been through it. It's more than just mere head knowledge. It's more than just a knowledge of the facts and the technical stuff, but it's the practical application. He's had the experience. He's been there. He's been where you are, okay? He's been there. Then I want you to see, the third thing makes somebody competent to counsel. It's good to have knowledge. It's good to have experience. But you ever went to somebody and you just wanted them to just put yourself in my place? He had the empathy. Our Lord has the empathy that helps and makes him the one such a great counselor. All right? Now I'll tell you, here's where a lot of people are lacking. They've got the knowledge. They may have the experience. But they don't really care. They don't really care. Back in Hebrews 4, verse 15, notice what it says. We have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. So what does that mean, preacher? That means he can be touched. He can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Now, sympathy is a feeling. It's a feeling of sadness, maybe, for someone because of a certain situation or circumstance. But that's not empathy. Sympathy is, okay, I feel sorry for it. It's a bad thing. Empathy is the one that has that empathy is the one that knows the pain, knows the shame, knows the hurt. They felt it. They felt it. Several years ago, there was a politician that said, I feel your pain. I didn't believe him. I'll tell you this, we have a great high priest that can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He's got that empathy. That's exactly what Jesus has for men today. That's why he wept at the grave of Lazarus. Hey, had it been me or you at the grave of Lazarus? And we knew what we were going to do. I don't know that we would have wept. We would have come and said, man, quit that weeping. Watch this. But that's not what he did. I'll tell you, he came to that graveside and he saw Mary and Martha weeping. I don't know, maybe other family members, maybe other friends. And the Bible said, Jesus wept. That next verse said, the people said, behold how he loved him. That's the empathy of our great counselor. That's the empathy. I'm telling you, he's competent to counsel us. He has all the knowledge. He's experienced it all, but he has empathy for you and I. Empathy for you and I. And his counsel is timeless. Timeless. His counsel is absolutely timeless. Doesn't matter the passage of time. You said, this book's old, it's outdated. No, no, no. It's old, but it's not outdated. What he has to say for us, what he said then, still good today. It's exactly what you need. Let me give you three things about his counsel and we'll be done. First of all, his counsel is come. Come. Take your Bible, Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, if you will, down in verse 16. I want you to notice what the Bible says. Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, verse 16. Luke 18, 16, but Jesus called them unto him and said, suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. All right, now, you got your one finger. Stick it in your Bible right there, all right? Stick it in your Bible. Remember that verse. Now let's go to John chapter 7. John chapter 7. John chapter 7, verse 37. John 7, verse 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Now, you got other fingers. You got one in Luke 18, stick one in John 7, and let's go back to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. Now, if you don't have your Bible here, you're going to have to mentally keep your finger in all these places, all right? Matthew chapter 11, all right? Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Matthew 11, verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. I'll give you rest. First invitation was to who? Children. He said, you suffer little children to come unto me and forbid them not. His invitation to a child is come. Come. You look in John chapter 7, verse 37. He said, if you're thirsty, you come. You come. If you're thirsty, you come. And then he says there in Matthew 11, verse 28, all ye that labor. Hey, I want to tell you, all of you labor. The laziest person in the world labors to some extent. But he said, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, come unto me. Come. So what's his counsel? His counsel, number one, is you come. You come. If you'll just come to me, come to me. That's the first thing. That is that first bit of counsel you need to hear. He said, preacher, what should I do? Go to him. Go to him. Wherever you are in life, wherever you are. He said, I'm just a kid. Go to him. Man, I've been here a long time. I'm tired. Good, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Come on, come on. Maybe you're in the young years of life, in the prime of life, and you're thirsting for success, and you're thirsting for some things. What do? Come to him. Come to him. You'll just come. That's where it starts. But his counsel goes beyond that. Man, I like this. 1 Peter chapter 5. Way over there, the epistle of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5. He said, what's that counsel, preacher? 1 Peter chapter 5. Look, if you will, verse 7. Oh, I like this. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Oh, hallelujah. What a blessing. All your care What's the counsel from the Lord Jesus? First of all, you come, and then when you get there, cast all your care upon Him. Every bit of it. Whatever the problem is, whatever the situation is, whatever is burdening you, whatever has got you, give it to Him. Cast it on Him. Hey, He's not like you. You go to a good friend, and that good friend might say, man, I don't want to hear all your problems. I got my own problems. I'm going to tell you, you come to Him, you cast all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. He careth for you. One other thing, Matthew chapter 11, back to chapter 11. So, preacher, why don't you say, keep my finger there? Because I forgot, okay? Matthew chapter 11. Plus, it gives you something to do while I'm looking, all right? Matthew chapter 11, if you will. We read a while ago, verse 28. Why don't you look at verse 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Tell you what, you come, you cast, and then you claim. You claim His yoke. I'm going to take that for me. I'm going to take that for me. I'm coming to you. I'm coming to you. And we're to claim what He has. And He's got what we need. We come to Him and claim salvation. Claim salvation. It's available. It's available. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you've done. Salvation is available to everyone. You can come to Him and you can claim that salvation. Man, I like it. I believe we can claim Him for peace too. Claim Him for peace, man. He said, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, but I'll give you my peace. That great old song, there's peace in the time of trouble. There is peace in the midst of the storm. Oh, there's peace though the world be raging in the shelter of His arms. That's where it's at. But you gotta come to Him to claim it. You gotta come to Him to claim it. Boy, claim Him for peace. And then He says, my yoke is easy. And He said, you'll find rest for your souls. And claim that. Claim that. Hey, folks, I'm going to tell you something. We go through life, you got all kinds of troubles. Can't seem to make it. You need to come to the counselor. You need to come to the counselor. You need to call upon Him. You need to cast your burdens upon Him. You need to claim His promise. You need to claim His blessing. You need to claim what's there, not in an arrogant sense, but in a humble sense of, Lord, you're providing it, you're offering it, and I'm claiming it today. I'm taking it from you. I want it, Lord. I want what you've got. Here's the problem. Isaiah chapter 30. One last place, would you open your Bible there? The great prophet Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 30. Oh, His name shall be called Counselor, Counselor. But here it is. Here's the problem. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 1. Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord. Notice that take counsel, but not of me. Let me read that again. Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me. Not of me. Yeah, I want that counsel, but I don't come to God. We go to Oprah. We go to Dr. What's-His-Name. We go to all these programs out there. We go to all these self-help books. We seek counsel, but we don't go to Him. And we can't figure out why we're in such a mess. The Bible said rebellious children. Rebellious children. Now you might not call him counselor, but it's because you've gone elsewhere for your counsel. Would you just let me say this to you gently? That's been your mistake. That's been your mistake. You can come to him today and change every bit of that. And by the way, I guarantee you, if you'd do it, if you'd come and you'd cast and you'd claim, it'll change your life. It'll change your life. Now, you may have come years ago and asked for salvation. Or you may have come just months ago and asked for salvation. You claim that salvation that is only available in Jesus Christ. But wait a minute. What about the rest of what he has for you? Have you listened to him? Have you sought his counsel about how you live? You done that? Well, if you'll do it, change your life. Your choice. Your choice. Would you stand, please, with every head bowed and every eye closed this morning, our Heavenly Father? Lord, we come to you today. We call upon your name because we need you. Lord, we need the counsel that only you have. We've made the mistake in many instances of listening to men. We've listened to what man has said. We've heard his opinion. We've sought the wisdom of human sages. But Lord, there's some things that only you have the answer. Dear God, would you help us to seek your counsel, to come to you, to turn to you, and to call upon you. Lord, to cast ourselves and our burdens upon you, knowing you care for us, and then, Lord, claim what you've offered for us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.